We have started our series on Malachi. And I didn't mark it in my book, so you might get there before me. Does anybody know where Malachi is? All right. That sounds a little loud. Is that too loud? It's like coming back at me. Bring it down a little bit. All right. So Malachi, chapter 1, starting in verse 6. I will read what we will be going over tonight, and then we'll get started. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar? But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised? When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts, but you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to be with us tonight. We ask you to guide us through this word. These are hard words. These are hard lessons to hear tonight. But we thank you that you're still willing to do this to us. That you're willing to bring us some hard truths. That you haven't abandoned us to tickled ears. We just leave this in your hands tonight. Father, I ask your blessing to say the right words. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This was a hard week. It says an awful lot about Israel and all the things that they did wrong. And every one of them is something I can put to my own life that I have done wrong. I felt more like he was talking to me than he was talking to Israel. I want to just read this to you for the proper context of my thoughts tonight. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I have nothing to say tonight that I'm not saying to myself also. It starts off with a son honors his father and a servant his master. And the Lord asked the question, if then I am a father, where is my honor? A son honors his father. You cannot honor a father unless you know who he is. How would you know how to honor him? How would you know how to hold him in high regard and with the utmost respect? How would you have the proper attitude if you didn't know who the Father was? You know, when Max was little, he's wishing right now he didn't come tonight. Max couldn't wait for me to get home. He couldn't wait to see me come in the door. And the way he expressed his love to me was he would come running up to me and he'd hug me and he'd squeeze me as hard as his little body could. And I remember one time, and I think I've told this story before, I was in Atlantic City for 3 days at a trade show, and he said, Dad, I was talking to him on the phone, when are you coming home? And I said, I'm coming home tomorrow, Max. I should be home by about 7, 8 o'clock. Dad, I can't wait for you to come home. He said, when you come in that door, I'm going to squeeze you so hard, I'm going to pop your head off. That was one of his classics. But see, I could go to so many other sons, and I wouldn't get that same honor because they don't know me. And the only way a son can honor his father is to know the Father. We spend so much time on so many different things. We get so busy in our lives, but we never take the time to understand who the Father is and the attributes of that Father so that we can properly honor him. A son honors his father. The interesting thing is that relationship, listen to it, a son honors his father. It is an unconditional relationship. See, no matter what Max does, no matter what it is, it can be the worst of the worst behavior, and he's still my son. That never changes. It's an unconditional relationship. And we need to see that. We need to understand that in order to honor the Father, we need to understand that our standing with him never changes. He loves us infinitely more than we could ever even imagine. And it is unconditional. But that's only one half of the relationship as we see here. The other one says, and a servant honors his master. This one's very conditional. And probably the easiest way for us to understand it is to think of a working relationship with your boss. When I go out to where I work, everything I do is conditional. Every single thing I do is following the will of the owner. I give up completely everything that I see that's right, and I'm willing to be obedient to what his command is because it's his property, it's his business, it's his money being spent. Everything is his will, and I never, ever challenge him on anything. It is his will. And a servant honors his master by giving up his own will and doing the will of the master. But it's conditional on certain behaviors. You can't be a servant of his unless you're doing certain things for him. So we have an unconditional part of the relationship and we have a conditional part. And they're both very important. The conditional one is based on obedience. If there was no obedience and there was no conditions, we wouldn't have Scripture. We wouldn't have this section of Malachi. There'd be no reason for it. God loved them. They were loved. End of story. But it's a servant honors his master by being obedient to his will. And that's what finishes the relationship. And the reason we do that as a servant is because he unconditionally loves us that we will always be his sons. See, the other beautiful thing about being a servant is, and I once again use the work analogy, when I go out to Hamel Nurseries and the truck breaks down, I don't worry about that. When I go out to Hamel Nursery and payroll has to be made, I don't worry about that. I trust that to them. See, all the needs of running a business when I'm out there, the master worries about. The master takes care of it. My boss worries about it. He takes care of it. And it's a beautiful spot to be obedient to the master and know that he will take care of all of your needs. And that's a proper relationship. It's so important that we see this also before we get too much further into this. Last week, Johnson spoke in the first part of Malachi. And I just want to reiterate something. It says, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? And his answer is Esau not Jacob's brother? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. Do you see that before we're getting into this part of correction and him admonishing his people, he first tells them how much he loves them? He loves them. And the point he was trying to get across there is I don't only infinitely love you more than you can imagine, but I want you to understand that there is nothing you did that earned that love from me. Absolutely nothing. I loved Jacob when he was in the womb before you even knew who he was. I loved him. What could Jacob possibly have done to earn that kind of love from the father while he was in the womb? Nothing. And that's the love he's getting across to these people before he admonishes them. He goes on to say, says the Lord of hosts, O priest who despise my name. Let me just say that we need to understand that when we relate this to us, he is specifically talking to the priesthood here. He's not talking to all of Israel. He's talking to the priesthood. He's talking to those he called to do his service. Does that sound familiar? We all here tonight are the priesthood, and he's talking to us. And what we have to understand is that as hard as some of these things are going to be, and as accused as you may feel when I say these words, the fact that God is bringing them forth to us and talking to us with these hard words is a sign that he still loves us. See, we can come up here and preach tickling your ears type of messages from Scripture. But I got to tell you, when you get to the point where your ears are tickled and we're just talking about all the fluffy, wonderful stuff of Scripture, God's left the building. God's left. His Scripture is to do a lot of things. It's to exhort us. It's to admonish us. It's to reprove us. It's to rebuke us. It has a lot of characteristics to it. And unfortunately, tonight is more on the intense side. And he says, you, O priest, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? It's kind of sad that they don't even know. They can't even see it. They don't even know that they have a speck or a log in their own eye. How have we despised you? He says, by offering polluted food upon my altar. Now take a look at that for a second. You, he's saying, you have offered polluted food on my altar. You. And he's talking to the priests. We have one opportunity to bring an offering to the Lord and to worship him. I shouldn't say it as one opportunity, but the way we gather together here and the way we assemble together, we come during the Lord's Supper and we bring our offering to him on Sunday mornings. But we have to look at this polluted food. What is this polluted food? And for them, we know exactly what it is because it goes on to say what it is. You offer blind animals in sacrifice? You offer those that are lame or sick? But what is polluted food to us? See, we are like them. We can't even see the fact that we despise him because we offer polluted food. And it's shame on us that we do this. And you say, well, wait a second. I don't offer polluted food. How dare you, John? Well, you know what we tend to do? We sit here, and it's so easy to do this. We have that guy that sits to the right of us who lives in that house that's way too big for a Christian to live in. And we got the one to the other side of us who's way too fat to be a Christian. That's probably me. He eats way too much food. We got that person that sits in front of us. Oh, that's the person that gossips way too much. You know, look who's behind me. That's the couple that their attendance is so poor here, they miss all the time. Right? We judge ourselves in light of the others around us, in light of our neighbors. And God wants us to judge ourselves in light of his word. And we walk around every Sunday. All of us do this. I do this. You do that. I watch it happening. I watch myself do it. We judge ourselves according to our neighbor, and we think we're so spiritual and so set before God, and all we're doing is offering him polluted food. We have a log in our own eye, but we see the speck in our neighbor's, and we think we're okay. And you say, well, wait a second, John, that's a crazy example. Let me ask you some things. Do you ever come late for meeting? Polluted food. Do you ever not take time on a Saturday night before the next morning when you're going to worship your Lord and Savior? And not take time to be in the Word, to prepare your heart so the Spirit can stir yourself? Do you ever not do that because there's a good ball game on? That's polluted food. And I'm not just speaking to the men on that. We all, ladies and the men, need to prepare our hearts. We are coming to worship our Savior the next morning. Do you ever come late for a ministry? Do you ever not prepare properly for a ministry? That's polluted food. Every single one of us, including myself, and when I tell you this was a rough week, I realized how much polluted food I bring before the Lord in all aspects of my life. We have to give him our all. And I don't know if I already said this, but one of my favorite hymns, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. He's tired of polluted food. He's tired of people who can't even see that they're bringing polluted food to the altar on Sunday mornings when we come to worship him. Look, I'm not saying everybody all the time. And I'm not trying to pick any one single person out. I'm just saying if we would examine ourselves a little deeper, a little harder, we would see that we have polluted food that we're bringing to the altar. When I spoke at the youth retreat last May. That wasn't May, wasn't it? And we spoke on New Testament church principles. And when I got to the end, one of the things I told all the youth is I said, every one of you should go running back to grace. And you should ask the elders to meet with them and sit with them and say, would you please help me to plug me in to see where I can serve and help me find what my spiritual gift is? I know if I just had a little bit of help, the Lord would reveal it to me. And go sit down with the elders and ask them that. How many youth, and Nathan, you're not allowed to raise your hand because your dad's in the same house. How many youth do you think came to the elders? Maybe the elders could answer that. I hope all of them did. I bet you it was none. And my point isn't to pick on the youth. I would expect that out of them. But if you want to examine yourself, don't do it by your neighbor. Do it by the Word of God. How many of you could go into the elders and sit down and say, I'm here before you, and I want you to tell me everything that I need to work on in my life to be a better Christian so that I can stand before God and not offer him polluted food? And I guarantee you we're so hard-hearted that we wouldn't even want to attempt to do something like that because of fear of some of the things we would hear about ourselves. I can tell you something. And my wife would say this at times too, you put on such a wonderful image up there, and we were in the worst of our marriage. And I'd say, well, that's my happy spot. I get to be around other believers. But we can put on such an image, but I tell you, when I am in my private time before God, I am as wretched and disgusting and as awful looking as probably Paul was when he says, chief among all sinners. I wish everything that's wrong and polluted would just leave my body. And the Lord just continues to break me down and break me down over these things that are polluted food in my life. And we all need to get this polluted food out of our lives. He cannot continue to bless this place unless polluted food leaves. By saying that you despised, that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? And then it goes on to say this, and this was so judgmental of me. Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Let me throw a couple of things at you. Act that way before your boss. Would he keep you on or would he fire you? Act that way to your neighbors. Would they put a fence up or invite you over? See, what was going on is they wouldn't even give these animals to the governor. They were blind and lame and sick, and they were giving them to the Lord as a sacrifice to him. We get so complacent on what we're willing to give to the Lord. On his day, one day a week, and please understand how condemned I feel up here as I say it myself. I was late this Sunday. I walked in late. When you walk in late, would you walk in late to work? Now, don't get me wrong. It happens. And God's not condemning anybody for walking in late because it happens in life. But when it's habitual, it is not caring. And if you did that before a boss, the boss would fire you eventually. He'd talk to you, he'd talk to you, he'd talk to you. You didn't change, he'd fire you. We have this thing where I work where we don't really deal with people picking up trees one or two at a time because we send crews out with tractor trailers and equipment loading a trailer, and it takes 3-4 hours. And if you come walking in any old time you want and you want one tree loaded on your truck, I got to shut down that crew, transport them all in, move a piece of equipment, load your tree on, tarp you, and then go back and start on there. It's extremely inefficient. So we have this thing. Show up at 7 o'clock. Your tree gets loaded like that in 2 minutes. Or if you come at 7:05, you wait till they're done with the trailer. Could be 3 hours, could be 2 hours, could be 4 hours. Right? You can't tolerate it. But see, we tolerate things in our lives. And we tolerate poor behavior. We bring blind animals and lame and sick animals before the Lord, and we say, Lord, this is okay. I'm not trying to pick on any one person here, but there's something that I'm going to bring up. There's times in the Lord's Supper we're passing around a frozen loaf of bread and sour wine. We can't buy a fresh loaf of bread for our Lord and Savior. We can't bring him the best. Throw the bottle away and buy a new one. Call me up on Saturday night. I'll run out and buy the fresh loaf. We wouldn't dare be caught bringing a frozen loaf of bread to a neighbor's house for dinner if they invited us over. Or a stale loaf. Or a sour bottle of wine. We'd be embarrassed to the point where we wouldn't even want to show up. But yet we pass it around here before the Lord. Blind animals. We have men who show up to usher who only show up for the Lord's Supper to usher. When it's not their time to usher, they're not here. That's a blind animal. That's a sick animal. We have things going wrong before us that we're comfortable with that are disgusting before the Lord that we would never do to a neighbor. We wouldn't be caught dead with a pattern like that of curtains in our house that's 20 years old. Every 5 years, my wife would update and change curtains in the house, whether I told her we had the money or not. We do things like this, we're not even aware we're doing them. We don't even see it. We wouldn't be caught dead in the other parts of our lives behaving like this, and then we come in here in the house of the Lord and we behave like this. That is a blind animal. That is a lame and sick animal we put before the Lord. And I am not trying to pick on anybody. I am just as responsible for that as anybody else in this room because I don't see it either. Look what he goes on to say next. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us? I read that wrong. I just read that as a question because that's where my mind is. How could we possibly? But this is him saying, this is what you think. This is the Lord saying to those people, and now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. He's saying, that's the way you're thinking. You threw a blind animal, a lame and sick animal, on the altar of God, on my altar, and now you're saying, have favor with us and bless us. And look at his answer. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? I don't know about you, but I feel very blessed. And I want to continue to be blessed. And I want to make sure that I don't sacrifice lame and sick animals before the Lord. And that I don't bring polluted food to the altar. I want to give them my all. And I'm going to make mistakes as I stand before you. And you're going to make mistakes as you stand before me. And we have to be gracious to each other. But every one of us, deep down in our heart, has the desire to give him our soul, our life, and our all. Or he eventually will take the blessing away. With such a gift from your hand, will he show you favor to any of you? Listen to what he says next. It gets really bad. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. Tonight, we can praise the Lord that he didn't shut those doors. He could do that at any time he wanted. And I'll tell you, I don't think he shut those doors because I don't think we were really as bad as what could have been. But we got to be really careful that we don't get any worse. Because if he wants to shut those doors, he'll shut those doors. And there won't be a thing any of us can do about it. And look what he's saying here. If this is all you can bring to me, if this is the best that you can do before me, I would rather you do nothing. It's almost in a sense, if this is all you can do for me on Sunday morning, is to not be prepared, preparing your hearts on Saturday night, and to come in late and to pass around stale bread, stay home. Lay in bed. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. I have no pleasure in you. These are pretty harsh words. I don't know about you, I desire in my life more today than ever before that the Lord has pleasure in me. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. What a rotten place to be. Look at what he says next. This is very condemning, but very exciting at the same time. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. First, we have to look at the ugly before we look at the nice part of that. The ugly part of this, and we need to never lose sight of this, is that the Lord does not need Grace Gospel Chapel. He does not need grace. He doesn't need any one of us to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. And we need to understand that. It humbles you to understand that he doesn't need this light on a hill in Plumsteadville to get done what he's going to get done. He doesn't need a prison ministry to get done what he wants to get done down at Neshaminy. He doesn't need Neshaminy Manor ministry out of us. He doesn't need an Awana ministry out of us. He doesn't need us gathering together to worship him. He doesn't need any of that for him to get his glory and for him to be great among the nations. But here's the good news. He desires it. He desires us to have a ministry down at Neshaminy Manor. He desires us to have a prison ministry. He desires us to have an Awana ministry. He desires us to be a light on the hill in Plumsteadville. He desires us to come in here and worship him. He gives us the privilege to be a part of this. But he doesn't need us. It's not like God is sitting up there on his throne, twiddling his thumbs and going, oh my goodness, so-and-so didn't come to church today. I'll never get enough glory out of these people today. Oh my goodness, they decided not to do the prison ministry. It's all over. I don't think I could reach another soul in that prison. You think he's sitting up in heaven doing that? He has chosen to do it through us. He doesn't need to. He chose to do that. He desires to work through us. And we need to understand that he doesn't need us. That's really good news. And you know why it's such good news? It's because John Stella is a complete failure. When I stand up and open the Word, I fail. I couldn't possibly tell you how awesome my Savior is. I couldn't put it to the proper words like Scripture could. I couldn't instruct you to a level that you really need to understand the way God wants you to know it. But for some reason, he desires to speak through me. I am a complete failure every time I open my mouth, every time I do something. Do you think there is anything that I can do in my life that I do to the ability and the perfection that God desires? Nothing. nothing, and yet he desires to go through me. It would be better left alone for God to do it himself, because it would be done right and it would be done perfectly. But he chooses us because he loves us. A son honors his father. There is a loving relationship there. And he wants to come through us. For my name will be great among the nations, regardless of me and you. That's a great truth. Going through this study, and I got to that point, and it was just beaten down and beaten down and beaten down and beaten down, and then, wow, took all the pressure off. Took all the pressure off. Regardless of whether I succeed or fail at what I do for the Lord, he desires to go through me. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. If you're doing a ministry before the Lord, or you're serving the Lord in some capacity, and you're getting tired of it, get out of it. You're not exercising your gift. If it's breaking you down and you're weary and you don't like doing it, get out of it. Look at the Lord's attitude towards that. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. He doesn't want you in it if you're tired of doing it. If you can't get up and get to the Lord's Supper on time, or the family Bible hour on time, or the fellowship meeting on time, don't come. And I'm not saying that in the sense that, oh, you had a flat tire, or your aunt got sick and you had to run over her house first. We all have those things. But it's when you say, I can't get there on time for you, Lord, when there's nothing else holding you back but your own will that you won't get there on time. You're growing weary. Don't show him that. I have to tell you, I love this more than ever. I love exercising my gift more than ever. I love studying more than ever. There was a time when this battled my plant excitement. I completely walked away from giving plant talks anymore. I'm not growing weary. I'm getting more excited to do this more often than ever before. And for some reason, the Lord's preparing me for that. I can't wait for the next time I'm on the schedule. I can't wait to open up His Word. I can't wait to study hours upon hours. Don't grow weary. If there's anything that you're doing with the Lord that you're growing weary, you're probably not exercising your gift. You have an opportunity to serve the Lord. You have an opportunity to bring him the best male of the flock with no blemish on it. You have an opportunity to give him your all. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you, the one who paid that price for you. You have an opportunity to give him your best and to not weary. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and he's repeating to them over and over again. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. Right? And we could go through that whole list again. Cursed be the one who's late. Cursed be the one who brings stale bread. Cursed be the one with the bad curtains. Cursed be the one who doesn't prepare for their ministry. Cursed be the one who doesn't prepare their heart for the Holy Spirit to move on Sunday morning. Cursed be this. Cursed be that. That's what the Lord is saying. Love so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my life, and my all. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry it has in our lives. Even with your word, we are nothing. We are failures. But we love you. And we know that you love us. And you have such patience with us. And we're thankful for that. Father, we just pray that you stir our hearts tonight. That we desire to walk out of here not just tonight, not just tomorrow, not just this weekend, not just the next month, not just the next year, but for the rest of our lives until we're in our glorified bodies, that we desire to give you our soul, our life, and our all every single time and never grow weary of that. Father, we are begging you tonight to touch our hearts and to help clean ourselves of any polluted food. We want to bring you a sacrifice that is worthy of your name. We couldn't begin to thank you enough for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we love you and we ask your blessing on this evening. And thank you for your words tonight. As hard as they were to hear, we need them. And we just praise you for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.